Kia ora, koutou, no mai haere mai ki Kikarts Tamaki Makaurau's comprehensive art show brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. Ko Marianne Infante Tene, your host for the next 90 minutes. We've got a really cool show lined up for you guys, but before we can kick off, I would like to start us with a song called Comfort by Hans Puckett. I believe that's how you pronounce that. So that was Hans Puckett, Comfort. Exciting stuff. Thank you, Georgia Parker, who is normally here with us hosting, but she's been a busy kick-ass lady doing the mahi around the country, really. She's been traveling around for music. But I'm super excited to share with everyone the amazing guests we have in the room. We have three lovely people joining us doing the mahi as creative artists in Tamaki Makaurau. And I'm going to start with Dean. Hi, Dean. Dean Faitiri.
Faitiri, that's right.
Yeah, I did try my hardest there. I just also want to disclaimer everyone that I've got a bit of a cold, so I think I might be speaking louder than I actually hear myself in my headsets. So I apologize in advance. But Dean, yes. How are you, mate?
Oh, great. It's 78. I still feel good.
78. Honestly, I had to double check that when I had that on my notes. Right. Looking at you now, Mm-hmm. I actually am like, you mentioned recently retired. I'm like, great. So like 66, surely. But no, a whole decade more than that.
Yeah.
You don't look it. What's the secret?
The idea is to find something that's stressless. Lifestyle that's stressless, that's the key.
How do you do that?
Find jobs that you enjoy doing.
Wow. And you were mentioning off air before that you've never really had like a permanent job.
I've never had a proper job, no.
Wow. No. And how has that been for you? Like, has it been keeping you young?
Keeping me young, keeping me on my toes, and also trying to create an opportunity all the time.
Amazing. So why are you here in the studio? I mean, obviously I know, but our amazing guests, speakers and listeners would love to know.
Well, I'm here because I love playing jazz, and possibly I'll be able to play a couple of songs that I've created in the blues field.
Blues field. Has that always been like your genre?
The genre has been mainly jazz, blues and rock and roll. That's the era I was brought up on, you know.
Amazing.
Because in my day, it wasn't cool to do original stuff. You always did the covers of American bands and also the English bands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cool. You never did your own original stuff. Whereas now I see kids creating stuff in their own bedrooms now.
Yeah.
Know? That's what's happening.
Technology is taking us in a different route, right?
And me looking back, the music scene is becoming sort of fragmented. There's no real genre. You know, kids can actually create a genre if they're progressive enough to get out there and promote it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what I'm seeing, you know.
And you've joined the team.
Yeah. And that's what I know. I can see already. Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I mean, I'm like, I can't do it, and you've obviously done it.
Yeah.
And I'm. Let's just say I'm very impressed. Eh?
But the beauty of it all is, because I'm from a jazz, blues, rock and roll era, I can play a lot of the soft stuff they're doing. You know.
Show them up.
Yeah. Show them up. That's what we do, these old fellas.
And to my left, we have two wonderful actors, performers, really. I'm actually curious. I want to know
devisors.
What you guys get. Devisors. Yeah. Wow, the big words. So we have Josh Metcalf and we have Amy, let me say this, Minarapa.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Guys. Hello. I'm just going to scooch over. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
There's a screen blocking your beautiful face. Why are you guys here? We'll start with Amy. Tell us, why are you here today in the studio with moi?
I'm kind of here just to give information about what we're doing, but also to really give an insight of what it's like to be a performing artist as well.
Right. Hit us with the wise words of how much we have to do in the art scene. What about you, Josh?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm here to talk about our new show that's coming up, but also, I'm a new grad from Unitech.
Yes, you are.
2 years out now.
Has it been 2 years?
I don't know.
Wow.
Lucky enough to be the year under the beautiful host here, Marianne.
Stop it.
But yeah, it's been really good and it's been really awesome to be part of, get back into a devising show.
Mm-hmm. Being back in such an active space, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this weekend, today and yesterday, we did full rehearsals from 9 to 5. So it's been really, really cool.
Really hectic, but we've got through a lot of it too.
Yeah.
You guys are doing the rough stuff, which is actually creating a show that doesn't have a script.
Yeah, we're coming to the hard part.
Wow. What's the hard part? Tell us all about it.
The hard part's putting it all together because, you know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been creating so many little pieces, little makes, little devising pieces, and now we are trying to make a whole kind of thread and put it all together.
Trying to weave it all together, and some parts are working better than others, but, I mean, we still got a week to try and, I guess, mend them all together.
Mm. Well, the thing is, though, like with a show like this, it definitely comes down to the process, right? And how we can make it all make sense as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners are like, what show are you talking about? Guys, tell us, what is the show called?
So the show is called Fleshies. I guess it's really embracing your body. I mean, we all have different bodies, and it's the way that we see ourselves, whether it be negative or positive, and just really embracing our bodies, I guess. Showing love to our bodies that we don't usually show on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And really acknowledging our bodies for what they do to us, because, I mean, they work so hard daily, and we're so stuck in our mind of, oh, it's so ugly and stuff, and but really we don't see the beauty of what our body does for us on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and where do you sit in that image, Josh? Are you a performer as well in the picture, or who directs it? I really want to know. I mean, I know, obviously, but I want
so,
you guys to tell.
So, Bryony is our director, and also Grace Augustine. Bryony Skillington? Yep, and Bryony... is our director.
Grace is our
assistant director.
And they're absolutely amazing.
Apart from us, there is 13 other cast. It's a massive, beautiful ensemble, a huge, diverse cast, which makes the story so important and so special, because it is about bodies and it's about a whole lot of different bodies. And with us 15, we all have different stories to tell. We have... so many different takes on life, and that's what makes the show so awesome, is to have a fully diverse, different races, different sexualities, different body shapes, different stories to tell, and it's really cool to have so many different types of people on stage.
Yeah, even like different perspectives of how they've seen their body. I mean, there's a lot who have thought so negative, but there's a few in our cast that haven't really experienced any negative thoughts towards their bodies, and it's a really... positive outlook on your body compared to how you usually talk about your body in general.
Well, I'm super, super excited for the show, because I know that it's produced by the lovely Alice Kirker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at...
The Basement Theatre.
And what a great space, you know? Like, you guys are making this fresh, new piece of work to tell stories and to accommodate a variety of, you know, voices in, not even just in the art scene, but in the community.
Mm.
Having, you said 15 people in the room, have you had any, like, disagreements?
Well...
Or is it quite, like, a nice and comforting, or everyone's quite supportive? How has the discussions been? Because obviously people have different takes.
Well, I have to say, like, the cast that... we are with, the cast that I've worked with has been one of the best casts I've really worked with, because we're so kind of understanding of each other, and we're so open-minded. We are full of a whole different variety of experiences. Some drama school grads, some have done one or two shows, some people it's their first show, so it's
it's a really amazing outlook. And I mean, this cast has just been a pleasure to work with. I mean, disagreements, we've had a few ups and downs, but I mean, disagreements, I wouldn't really say we have, because at the end we've always come to the conclusion of, oh well, we'll do this and maybe we can put this somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So all our ideas never get thrown in the bin. We always come back to them, and if they're not in the show, we all understand why they're not in the show.
Yeah. And you both, these are both, well, actually, wait, Amy, this is your first year
out of studies.
Graduating. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. How's it been for you?
It's been really good. This is my second show coming out of studies, and I was assuming that this was going to be like a really nitty-gritty, especially because it's a devised piece, and I mean, there's so many ideas that are going to get thrown out there that I thought that we were going to collide quite a bit, but it's been... really great. I mean, I've had so much fun coming out of studies, and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see where my journey goes from this.
What a rewarding thing to hear. Mm-hmm. And what about you, Josh? 2 years, how's it been in the mix of the artsy real world?
Well, yeah, getting into the real world was it has its highs and its lows, as you know, Marianne. But no, definitely. I was just so excited to be part of another project. You know, when I saw that the ad for Fleshies come out, audition ad, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is targeted towards me. But, you know, it said we want everyone. Mm-hmm. There is no holding back. So I thought, I'm just going to audition.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to lose. And now I'm part of it. So now I'm part of a group of all these amazing, diverse, different kinds of people. And I'm learning so much from them. And I'm part of this awesome show. So, yeah, of course, there were some times since leaving Unitech where I was working my normal, boring 9-to-5 job and wasn't doing anything creative. But, you know, you always have to keep positive and you have to try and keep little projects up your sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really awesome to just jump on the back of Alice's idea, her vision, and to just put my little 2 cents into her amazing pot. And her giving us the amazing platform of being able to perform at the basement for 2 weeks in the main stage.
What a joy.
I'm so grateful to be part of it.
Well, this is the thing, right? I'm really fascinated, and actually I'm just fueled by that thing when the audition notice came out, that everyone was welcomed, everyone was invited in terms of, you know, in this conversation, because, body image is something that everyone is affected by, right? Whether whether we choose to or not, like, it's the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like, I'm just beyond ecstatic that you guys, and like you said, 2 cents, your 2 cents, and 15 other people's 2 cents. How many cents is that? I don't even know, like 30 cents? Is that right, Matt? It's not my forte, but I'm so stoked that you guys are doing something this, you know, like, it's not an easy topic for a lot of people to talk about. And for some people, it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time to talk about it. I would really love to know how has the devising, like, what does devising entail for this piece of work? Like, how has it been in the room?
So basically, it's a play. It's a theatre show, but it's not a script. It's not a play. We don't have lines to learn.
Mm.
We don't have a guideline of what we have to do. We don't even need a beginning, middle, and end if we don't want to. We are using a whole lot of different elements. We're using clown, dance, poetry.
Bit of acting, but, like, without words.
Wow. Yeah, so it's very physical theatre, very... So we're using all the different techniques, all the different styles, and we kind of got a bit of a structure.
Yeah.
Where we're going through the body, so every body part, from the feet up to the head.
Yeah.
To the heart. Yeah.
Working body part by body part.
I love that you went from the feet to the head to the heart.
Mm.
I love that. Guys, what a beautiful projection. I just want to bring Dean into this conversation, because obviously Dean is our jazz saxo player expert. How does the process of making music work for you? Does it start from the toes to the head and the heart as well? Like,
probably starts with the style of song you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it branches from there. It could be a slow song or a fast one or a medium.
But, like, does it have to be sparked with some sort of, like, a memory or, like, an experience? Like, how does it all begin for you?
I think it just comes from trying to create that that impact straight away, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just seem to be able to just create something. I'm not thinking of anyone or anything that I've experienced, you know? It's just, I just think of the song in the key I'm playing and then just go.
So it comes quite organically for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That sounds... Yeah, Josh?
I mean, we can relate to that too. Mm. There's been a lot of times where we just kind of had a plain rehearsal floor and it was all the cast on the side and it was just improv or just get in there, create something, don't think about anything. It can be a memory, but just make something on the floor. Some will be gold, some will be trash, but we can put it... It's a work in process.
That's exactly what I'm going to try to do. Well, the song I'm going to play, you know, on air.
Could be gold, could be trash.
All I know is I've got the key to play in. And then whatever the notes I come up with, it'll be, it won't be a repeat of what I've played before.
Wow. Yeah. All fresh for us in the studio.
Different every night.
Yeah. Different every night.
Every time I play it, it's the notes and phrasing is probably always different.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty with devising as well. We could do something exactly the same, but the outcome is never the same.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's the same with the people you perform it to, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially with live performances, whether it be music, whether it be physical show, clowning, whatever, the impact is always going to be different because it's always being received by different people, right?
Yeah.
What's the kind of response you're hoping to receive from your music, Dean?
Well, the genre I'm used to playing to mainly the 50 to 80 age group. So
what a range in this room.
They're probably in bed every night. Cocoa by Nell. So I've got to create a new
I tell you what, Dean, I still have cocoa now, I tell you. I feel like I've also passed the wine and cider. Actually, that's a lie.
Right.
See me trying to pretend. Yeah. But I do like my cocoa.
Yeah. But a lot of oldies I'm used to playing for, they're normally, you know, getting to ready for bedtime from about 8 and 9 o'clock on.
So. Well, you know what?
I'm a late starter.
The best thing about Kick Arts is that we're a podcast, so it's recorded,
right,
and whoever is asleep at this point in the evening can also go back and listen to it.
Oh, cool.
What I will do is, for everyone who was listening in the last 2 minutes, Dean will be playing live in the studio. We've got a little bit of a setup going on here, so stay awake for that if you want to tune in. But we're just going to have a little bit of a break, and I'm going to play another song suggestion from the beautiful Georgia Parker. This one is called Sugar by Bailey Wiley. So let's have a listen. It's playing, I promise.
I've been thinking I need a break. This time last night I tried to do right by you and focus on my love, my touch. I've been thinking I need some time to get it right in my head. Rewind my shit, start making my own bed. My friend, sugar, meet me in the middle, meet me halfway. I can't wait. Sugar, meet me in the middle, meet me halfway. I can't wait. Cause you know the way I like it. Know the way I move. Yeah. Knowing that you like it when I'm doing what I do.
Street light.
Speak the truth. I'm adamant we will see this through.
Compromise what I like.
But my needs ain't met, sugar. Don't make me choose. Baby, you need some time. I could leave you, babe. If I ain't what you want, please excuse
my insecurity. Overwhelms me.
I'm an ordinary girl. Won't you step into my world?
Sugar.
Interrupt what's going on. I got respect for you. I can put a bit of bling on the neck for you. If you holler, then I'm near on the dot like a decimal. Wait, let's keep it professional. Oh, you're in the mood and I wanna grow too. Yeah, we can celebrate every day like it's New Year's. Pour a little red wine, sipping on a few beers. Let's fly to London. I don't even know what to do there. Who cares? You know I'm hooked, but I'm fresh like a new pair. Know I got the sugar and the honey like poop. Yeah, if you wanna parlay, I can partake. Not a heartbreak. Hit me on the cell and meet you halfway.
Come home,
baby.
I'll
let you
taste, baby.
You just know.
guys, what a tune by Bailey Wiley. That one was called Sugar. We have Dean set up in the studio with his saxophone. He can't really hear anyone, but I'm just about to cue him in. He's about to play Waka Blues for us live in the studio. So this is Dean Waititi, when you're ready.
Thank you.
good time that was. Paki Paki. We'll just let Dean have a bit of moment to settle back to his chair. But guys, I don't know if live saxophone playing has ever happened in this room before, but that was very smooth. If you just want to move your microphone.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Okay.
Look at us giving each other notes on air. My God. What a treat. Thank you so much for doing that, Dean.
Pleasure.
And that was called Waka Blues.
Yes.
Do you just want to
named after my son, Waka.
Oh. Waka. Yes. Shout out to you if he's listening. He might be asleep, but we don't know.
No, he won't be.
What a cool way to just give us an insight. I mean, I feel like I know a little bit more about you now.
Yeah. Well, basically, these three songs I've created, mainly as a taonga for my mokopuna when I'm gone, really. That's all I'm creating is a bit of a taonga for them.
Wow. I think it's beautiful, and I honestly a little bit speechless. One, I also know that you are self-taught, Dean.
Yep. I've never had a lesson, though. You don't need lessons if you've got a good ear.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't have a good ear. I can't even really hear myself at the moment, so that's a bit of a problem for me. How did you start? Did you just, like, pick up a saxophone?
Well, I just go and listen to people play, you know, and I suppose I've got a gift. I'm able to go in and listen. I can remember every note, and I can go back and replicate it. I don't need to go and write it down.
Wow, Dean, don't gloat. Don't show
But there's
off.
A lot of other kids. They're amazing. They're better kids than me, mate. There's heaps of them. I see them come through the club all the time.
What club is this? I'd love to know. Maybe if I walk through your club, I might end up getting the blessing of being able to play music.
Well, the club is called the Galatos.
The Galatos. Yeah. Tell us about it.
The Galatos is a live entertainment venue just off K Road. It's been there for probably going on to 30 years now, and I'm the actual owner of the building, of the club, and the beauty of it all, I've had virtually all the top entertainment through my club, from Lord. Whoa. She did her first live gig ever live with. In our club.
And I look at her.
Yep. And that was in 2015. Wow. Look at her now, you know. And it was interesting because before she played live, she had to come and rehearse for a few days. And she was just like any kid like you lot coming in now on your first crack, you know. And she was nervous as anything. And she was a, you know. And I thought, oh, here's another kid. Try hard kid, you know, coming in. Didn't sound really good to me, you know, but she just did an amazing thing. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Well, I definitely need to go to Galatos just to get some of that obviously powerful waiter that people are just like, I'm going to be amazing now.
Well the waiter is, it's all these new kids coming through and playing their music live with us. And if you look at our website, we've got all genres playing there every week.
That's amazing. I know that I'm going to have Dean a little bit longer in the studio, and I know I've got little precious time with Amy and Josh, because guess what, fam? Some of us has to take public transport, eh, Amy?
Yeah.
On a Sunday.
Look, we're keeping it real here in Kick Arts. Let's talk about making it accessible.
So, Papakura, can you make your transport a bit longer so that I can stay here longer?
What a good shout-out. On that note, actually, I want to talk about a little beautiful performing arts space that Hewaka Kanoa is opening up very soon to public. Well, we've just moved in. It's called Ke Te Aranui. It's in Onehunga. And it's very accessible in terms of public transport on the bus line and train line. I don't know how late the buses and trains go in that area, but I would like to think people can easily get there. It's open for musicians, open for dancers, actors, devisors, people who want to teach classes. So check that out, guys. It's on Facebook if you want to have a little gaze on what the space might be looking like. But I would like to ask the big question of how did you end up here today? Whether that be in acting, performing arts, here in the studio. Josh, I'm going to start with you.
Me first.
Oh, what a treat for you. How did you end up being here? In, I mean, arts industry, acting, what made you do it?
So I've always enjoyed being a performer, or that's where my skills lie. Like, my skills as a human, as a person, never were my science skills or my math skills. My skills were with telling stories and my voice and my presence. So I always knew that I had to do something to do with creativity, if it was telling stories or acting or hosting or just being with people and entertaining and looking after them. So that's why I fell into acting. And so I went to the Unitech Drama School and I did my 3 years degree there. I mean, I didn't go straight from high school. I had a year out to really think about what I wanted to do. I thought maybe I wanted to go down a different route, but I knew deep down, yep, I'm going to do acting. So
I'm going to shine.
I'm going to do it. So I went there, got my degree, came free into the acting world. How I came here, I think, like I said to you before, is when I saw the Fleshies audition, I wasn't sure if it was for me, but I put myself out there, and that's kind of what it is about being being an actor, especially in Auckland. You can choose what you want to do, but if you want to just, you know, get some stuff down, you want to grab everything that comes, everything, you want to try everything out, and that's really what I am into. Mm. I also love theatre, and I love devising because it's so raw and real, and so that's what I wanted to do. So I saw this ad and I put myself out there, and I knew going into that process that it would probably be quite vulnerable and that I would have to tell some of personal stories or relationships I have with myself and my body and judgments people have on me or my past and stuff like that. And it would be uncomfortable situations sometimes, but that's what being an actor is being brave and putting yourself out there. So that's why I decided that I had to do the show. And I'm really, really grateful, and I'm really excited to be able to show everyone and put myself out there for the audience to
mantra.
See.
Exactly. And what about you, Amy? What made you decide performing arts?
Growing up, I've always been a dramatic baby. My first goal was to become a nurse. I always loved caring for others. And I was really bad at biology. So I was like, okay, nursing's not for me. But I'd done drama throughout high school as well, and I always felt a sense of home. And, like, I belong, like, that's where I was me, not a persona of me. So after high school, I didn't actually, I studied, but it was a certificate in performing arts. And then from there, I was like, okay, I want to pursue this even further. So I ended up going to PIPA, which isn't open anymore, but it was a great eye-opener. It was a Pacifica Institute where I got to learn all different types of Pacific movement. And so that's where I found my love with my body and movement. Words aren't really something that have helped me in the past. So my body is usually the one that tells the story. And I love to dance. I mean, I'm Māori, but I can Siva, and I love to do Cook Island dancing, Hawaiian dancing. All of the Pacifica kind of movement is my passion. And then I thought I was always too fat to do contemporary dance. I thought that I would never be able to move like them because, I mean, contemporary dancers are seen as this skinny view. And I was like, well, obviously this fat body can't do that. After my first year, my dance teacher was the one that hammered it into me. She's like, it doesn't matter what kind of body image you have, you can do it if you really believe in it. So that's where I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I can do this. It was hard at first, but I mean, I got there at the end. I can finally say I'm a contemporary dancer. Not a great one, but I can do dancing.
You do it, and it will be in the show as well. I can could say that I've seen Amy dance, and she is an absolute incredible dancer. And in our Fleshy show, there's going to be lots of elements where you'll be able to see Amy at her best.
Wow. I'm also, shout out to, was it the drama teacher that told you?
My dance teacher.
Your dance teacher. Shout out to that dance teacher for not being like, I'm going to conform to what society says what a contemporary dancer looks like and go chase your dream. And now here you are doing a show.
Yeah.
And you're going to shine as the contemporary dancer that you are.
I think really seeing, I saw this ad, actually it was my tutor that showed me this, and I was like, something about bodies. So I was like, I've always wanted to tell a story about my body, and I've always wanted to tell a story about my skin color. That's been something
I'm already there. I'm with you.
Yeah, so I was like, this is a great opportunity to finally push out my story. So I was like, great. I was like, my body image isn't the perfect fit. And I mean, my skin color kind of, I have disadvantages with it. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm in there.
That's so good. I'm currently, I also want to do a little shout out to a show. I'm not actually in, but I'm very lucky and privileged to support and work with. It's called Maniac on the Dance Floor, which is also at the Basement Theatre. So I partnered up with Adam Rohi, who's the wonderful director of the piece, and I've choreographed the dance moves in it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've seen the videos.
Thank you. If anyone want to know, check it out on my Instagram.
I have a friend in there as well.
Who's your friend?
Day-Day. Tikaranga Waka.
Day-Day, can I just, okay, shout out to Day-Day. Day-Day is one of the most committed performers I have ever seen and worked with, and Day-Day is doing the rehearsals in between Auckland and Wellington.
Yeah.
And I was just like, when do you sleep? When do you do your life? But yeah, please guys, check out Maniac on the Dance Floor. It talks about issues of mental health and talks about the trans community and being told in an authentic point of view with some kick-ass dance moves to obviously put a cherry on top of it all. But I'm just so stoked that, you know, more and more people like you guys are coming to join the conversations that I like what you said, Josh, which was really touching. Vulnerable, a space of vulnerability. How do you wish or perceive? I don't even know the right words. How do you think people will feel leaving your show?
I kind of hope that they really see the beauty in their body. That's what I hope. I mean, to have fun as well, because this is a crazy ass show. And it's just to embrace themselves, not hide behind doors because of what they look like. I mean, really show the world what they have, and that this body, you only get one body, and that
True
you have
words.
To cherish it.
They'll leave going, everyone's body is funny, is gross, is silly, is vulnerable, is precious, and it's empowering. It's a body empowering show. It doesn't matter if you love your body, if you don't love your body, leaving this, you'll love who you are.
What a strong message there. I'm also just a little bit curious on that really beautiful note. So, nursing, was there another thing that you wanted to maybe do, Josh, other than acting?
Originally, when I was young, I wanted to be a celebrity chef.
Still a celebrity, I love it, but
celebrity
a chef.
Because I wanted to be a chef, but on the TV. but no, I also wanted to be a journalist too, so I kind of thought, you know, I enjoyed cooking, but yeah, I also wanted to be a journalist too, and I think that comes from what I was saying, is that I just wanted to be a storyteller.
I love that you're like, I'm going to be a chef, but on TV. And then later down the track, you're like, actually, I just want to be on TV. Because honestly, when I was probably, I think, 15, 16, when, you know, I was all about NCIS, CSI, Miami, I was like, I'm going to be like forensic. That's going to be me, but on TV. But then I was like, wait, I think I just want to be on TV, really.
No, I did have a time where I was like, I think I want to be a lawyer. I think I want to be a lawyer. And then I was like, no, I just want to act as a lawyer. I want to play a lawyer.
kick-ass character. Because, like, why not, you know? I want to know if you guys can tell me where people can find your show, where to buy tickets, how to get a hold of tickets, when is it on? Give us the dates, guys.
So Fleshies is on from the 18th to the 29th
of
the
June.
Basement. Yep, of this month. We open in a week, basically, from now. It's on at the Basement Theatre, and you can get your tickets on the Basement website. 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anything you want to add, Amy?
No, but I think Josh has said it. So get in early. Wednesday tickets are cheap.
I heard that maybe your second week is already selling out, so people need to get in quick, right?
Yeah.
Far out, guys. This is the thing that I find with the Auckland audience, is that they always like to wait for that last sweet minute, that one hot minute when things are going off, and you're just like, now you missed out. So, guys, don't miss out and check out the show. Josh Metcalf and Amy Minarapa.
Yeah.
They're going to dash to the train station. So thank you for joining us in the studio. And now I get to have an amazing one-on-one time with Dean.
Yeah, thank you for so much having us, Mary.
Thank you. We're just going to play Dean's other track called, hang on, I've got it, drum roll please, Tawira Blues. We're going to play the track and we're just going to say pomarie to these two. And we'll be back after this track, guys. Have a listen. was Tawera Blues. Dean, it's just you and I now.
Yep, that's cool.
What a good time for you. So I just want to ask, you cheekily mentioned while we weren't on air that all of these tracks were one-take wonders.
One take, yes. I decided to do one take on each song as an original representation of what I did on the day, because quite often you can change it to make the song sound better.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I'd just do one take on each song. That's what I did. Any future discs recordings I'll do, I'll be able to just improve them as I go along. Yep.
That is actually phenomenal. And how do you prepare yourself, I suppose, for anything like that? Or is there no sort of, you just like, this is like a live concert?
It's a live concert, and you hope you hit the right notes all the time.
And what happens if you don't?
Well, that's why I've called it Sounds of Picasso.
Ah, I'm currently holding Dean's CD, and I did admit that this is probably the first time in maybe 4 years I've held a CD or a DVD of some sort. I'm loving it. And the picture has Dean and, are these your grandchildren?
Those are my grandchildren.
What a beautiful picture.
Tawera and Kaha.
That is, so Tawera is the young gentleman.
Tawera is the little girl.
The little girl. Yeah. Amazing.
And Kaha's the
And I'm very curious, does that mean all the rest of the music in this CD or album is based on a family member or inspired by?
No, all the other songs on the recording are just old jazz standards, you know, like Moondance. And
that's amazing. What a jazzy night for us tonight ahead. I'm very excited. I want to know, how did you end up 78... You're here making some jazzy, smooth music. Tell me about how you ended up where you are now.
Well, basically, my wife of 2 years, but the interesting story with us is we've been together 50 years, but we didn't get married until the 27th of June, 27th of December 2017.
What? You waited 50 years?
50 years, yes. And the reason why we never got around to it, because our grown-up children actually rang me. One of my daughters rang me up from Littleton. She said, "Dad, yes, you're getting married."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, yeah, cool. Well, what do we do?" She said, "Get on a plane and we'll organise the rest." So my intending wife and I ended up going down to Littleton to get married.
Wasn't even really up to you, was
no.
it?
No. Her and her other sister up here, they actually conspired to organise it all for us.
Amazing. Yeah. Everyone's like, we just need to see a party, some lovely confessions of love to everyone. So how big is your whānau? I'm really curious.
I've got four children, two to a previous lady and two to my current wife.
Wow. And you've got, how many mokos have you got?
Four altogether.
Amazing.
Five.
That's incredible. And I want to know, are any of your grandchildren musicians like you?
They've got the talent, but none of them have stepped up yet.
You're like waiting in the background.
Yeah, probably.
Has anyone ever tried to pick up your saxophone? And
oh, yeah. Waka, the name of that blues song I've called, he is a very talented kid. And I've sent him along to learn the saxophone, the guitar, the bass. And the interesting thing with him is he learns things so quickly, he gets bored.
Wow. That's a talent.
It's a talent, yeah.
Just chuck him some more songs.
Yeah. But he's one of these kids, you know, he's very quick at picking things up and then just find something else to do.
I mean, I know you learn, like, you're self-taught, but does he maybe want to try and go to like a music school or?
I've sent him off to learn music, yeah.
Amazing. But
the interesting thing, I found a really good teacher who was writing all the music for the TV shows in the 70s.
Wow.
And what he did, he was amazing. what he did when I took Walker out to see him, he said to Walker, bring the CDs you're listening to, and I'll create all the music based on the songs he was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, Walker picked all the theory up straight away, because mm-hmm. you know, he was playing back the songs he was listening to, reading as well.
So he's got a good ear as yeah. well. My dad's the same. Is my it? Dad's got a really good ear, never really mm. learned, but give him a guitar and my mm. dad could just remember music yeah. and play it.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, Polynesians have got it really like that, haven't we?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I would love to claim that I'm Polynesian, mm. but I'm not. I'm Asian.
No, but I'll tell you what, in the 60s and 70s, we had some of the best bands come down from the Philippines. You didn't know
Yo,
that, did
no, I yep. didn't. Tell me more. Now, this is what
they
the whole
amazing.
Show's going to be
they
about.
They were amazing. You know, they did all the Blood, Sweat and Tears and Chicago. I'm going back to the old rock band style, you know? And they could replicate all those types of bands amazingly, you know?
Filipinos are really good
Filipinos,
at covering.
Amazing, yeah.
Covering music. We're
covering,
really good at
great.
Copying.
Yeah. Well.
And great at creating, obviously, but
well, we
yeah.
all copy, don't we, you know?
One way or the other, right? Yeah. How would, that's a good question, actually. Like, have you found it quite difficult to make originals, or have you?
No, I've never got around. I've never thought of doing originals. I never thought I could consider doing it. You
could
know,
this
I've
be
always,
the day?
Always listening to other people's music, and I think, oh, I like that. I'll play that, you know?
You're so sweet, yeah. Dean. I'd love to play everyone another song, which you've actually recommended. Everyone, this is called Autumn Leaves. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about the song before we play
well,
it?
Well, it's a nice time to play that song because we're going into the autumn period, you know?
Mm.
And it's an old, good old jazz standard that most musicians love to play.
Yeah, wait, we're leaving autumn now, on to winter.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
This is a good goodbye yeah. to autumn and hello winter cold times. So everyone, this is Autumn Leaves by Dean Faitelli. What a beautiful tune, guys. If you are not...
tune now, that's 2 years ago.
Wow. Dean's just been showing me some before and after images of him and his love.
My love. She's the only love.
Yeah, the only love.
50 years. We've always been together. We've never gone away on our own ever, except last year when she went to the UK for 3 months with her sister.
Oh,
first time ever.
What's the secret?
Secret?
How do you stay with someone for 50 years?
Understand each other mentally, psychologically, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
and sexually. That's the main part.
Whoa. 9 o'clock hits and Dean's like, I'm ready to talk the big
compromise
talk.
Compromise is the key, though.
Compromise.
No bashing. No. I'm afraid.
No bashing at all.
At all.
At all. No qualms about it. You know, I was very lucky enough to be at the well-being presentation of Prime Minister Jacinda, and they're doing some really great wanting to do some, you know, focusing more on how do we stop this, you know, sudden unprecedented culture of family and sexual violence that's occurring in New Zealand. And I'm just really glad that our government is finally deciding to do something about it.
Well, it's a good try, I suppose. Eh?
Mm, yeah. Well, we got to start somewhere, right? Because it's a big problem and team, no good.
Yeah.
Now, on that topic, on that note, I want to know about how you produce this little album. So, solo.
Well, after I observed all these kids coming through my club, the Galatos, a lot of them were actually doing their album releases. And I listened to them and I thought, God, I can do that, you know. So I let it go I've had the place for 9 years now. And so early last year, I just decided to go into the studio, Roundhead Studio, where it's owned by Neil Finn. And I booked a session there, 4 hours, and never had any real plans of how to make it. All I did was jump in front of a microphone, and they just cued me to start playing, and so that's what I did.
And you were helped by Hugh Porter and Emily Bounce.
Yes, yes. Hugh did the first six, and Emily did the rest. Yeah,
that's incredible. I mean, I struggle with even just being in front of a mic and doing this, but to actually have it recorded permanently as well. And
well, I suppose it came back to my experience playing these songs continuously throughout my life, I suppose.
So how long have these songs existed for?
The blues ones, they're original, but the rest are all old-style covers that a lot of jazz musicians play. And so I use that as my bass. And so I've been playing those songs for years. So
do you still play, like, publicly? Like,
I play a lot of... because I'm in an apartment now, I can't practice in the apartments. So what I do when I've got any spare time is I'll go out and play on the streets.
Yep. Cool.
On the streets and in the markets. Like today I was playing in Takapuna Markets for a couple of hours.
Incredible.
Yeah. But so it was a good time to get my songs together for tonight. And that's what I did.
Yeah, you're good practice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Whereabouts in the streets do you play?
Yeah, well, today I was playing at the Takapuna Markets, which is very busy on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty
are you there every Sunday?
Yeah, most Sundays I'll be there. If it's raining, I won't. But every Sunday I'll be there because my apartment is only just around the corner.
That's amazing. Mm. I mean, also, all those raw talents that you see in the markets or up and down Queen Street, I'm like, why aren't these people on the radio, you know?
I suppose a lot of them, like me, haven't got that confidence to, you know, you've got to be able to push yourself. But a lot of us, we just like to sit back and just do our own thing and not sort of, you know, be the big hero as far as saying I'm the best sort of thing. So I just like to get out there and just do it, you know.
So, 78, in your younger days, I'm really curious, because, you know, you're incredibly creative and incredibly talented. What have you had any jobs that were sort of like mainly just to pay the bills? Like, have you had to clean
yes,
any toilets?
Yes, I've had heaps of those. I've had heaps. But when I left school, I actually ended up with school cert, and I actually got a job working in an office where I lived in Napier. But I wanted to get away from home, so I got a job working in an office in Wellington for a shipwrights company. And my job was working out all the wages and the costings for all the different employees mm-hmm. and all the products and stuff they used in their business. And so... And those were the days when you never even had a computer, let alone a calculator.
Wow. Days everything I don't even know about. Head. Wow. Oh, this is probably why you could do everything in like just on the go. Because everything's stored
but
up.
I was good at adding up columns and columns and columns of figures, you know, but no, I can't do it.
Jazz got you back
at
the end of the day. And you were telling me earlier, actually, you were excitedly telling me earlier about your life in the UK.
Yes. Well, there was my wife. She's a traveller. She loves to travel, you know. So, but it didn't worry me whether I went or did any travelling. All I wanted to do was just get a job and save some money and say, you know, create some sort of a income for myself, you know. But she decided we need to travel. So, about 78, she booked some tickets for us to go to the UK. And it was that was the start of our journey, international journey. And so we landed in London, and we had no proper jobs. But what we did was we found a job working in a pub in Nell's Court, and that was a live-in job. So we were there just serving drinks during the day and living off leftover pub food.
Wow. Did you think about playing your music while you were there back in the day?
No, I took my horn along, but they had split shifts where you think you're working all day. You started in the morning, finished about 3 o'clock, and then you had about 3 or 4 hours off.
Then you come back
and then
again.
You had to come back and work right through to midnight, you know.
I've worked those hours here too, you know. Classic old student life.
Yeah, but you gotta do all those things, you know. And then I had another job cleaning cars in Margate, you know.
Cleaning cars?
Well, they were French cars coming over the channel. And what they had on they had to, you had to get all the grease off the car first, clean all that off before you could even start polishing it, you know. So that was a real, I didn't last long, in a couple of weeks and I was at it. The guy who I took over from, he could do clean 4 cars a day. I couldn't even get one done. So.
Wow. Mm. You're like, not for me. Yeah.
No,
someone get me a saxophone.
Me, you know.
And now you got your saxophone, you're like, my life is great.
Mm.
Have you ever thought about doing other creative outlets?
Well, as I say, I had a good interest in playing squash when I was younger.
Yeah,
so
you do.
My wife's grandmother lived in Dublin. So she said, oh, well, we should go over and see her. And so I said, so we did go to Dublin. And I used to take my squash gear with me and then ring up the local club and see if I could get a game with somebody, you know. And they arranged the club captain for me to play. And I was lucky to beat him. And he said, oh, our coach is just leaving. He was the number one in Ireland, a Pakistani guy. He said, oh, our coach is leaving. Do you want the job? I said, yeah, okay. I'd never even thought of doing coaching, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was another opportunity. I said, yes, I can do it. So I just went down to a local bookshop and bought a little book on squash and read it up over the weekend and started on a Monday. And
you were coaching squash just
coaching
after reading
squash.
One book?
Mm.
Again, self-taught?
Yep, self-taught.
Dean, you amaze me. I don't even know what to say.
My wife, Andrea, will verify that because she came along with me to the first lesson.
Mm. What other things have you just sort of picked up and you're like, yep, I can do it now?
Well, music. But the financial one that has benefited me was learning to do sales.
Tell me, what are your secrets in sales?
Well, as I say, I was working in Christchurch in this office, but great thing with working in an office, it's good, clean, warm, nice people, blah, blah, blah. Well, but once I knew how to do the job, I used to get bored, you know? And I used to think, oh, I'm bloody locked in here for the next 80 hours, you know?
You know
and
what?
I just, and so I saw an ad in the local paper said, the sky's the limit. If you come and learn how to sell the insurance, life insurance, and you can do very well. And that's exactly what happened.
And you went for it and you touched the sky.
Because, you know, you haven't got any set levels of income. The sky's the limit, and it's so true.
Mm.
You know, commission-only sales is good if you're creative and have the good skills to make
your
sale work.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, I think that's definitely one of the reasons I gravitate to the performing industry, because I'm a full-time creative, and my day is never the same.
Mm.
Not a single day is ever like the other ones, and that's what keeps me on my toes and never gets boring, right?
Yeah.
And every time I do a project, I mean, I don't know how we can relate with music, but I'm not musically inclined at all, but none of my projects are ever the same. Mm. All the messages are different. I work with different people all the time, which is part of the beauty and joy and what I suppose why I keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
I want to know, how do you want people to feel after listening to your music?
To feel that, you know, look at your strengths, I suppose, your passions, what you're really interested in, and everything will come. If you can create your work habits through those passions, it'll just get better and better.
Mm. What a good way to look at things. And
that's been the result of the music, the squash coaching in Europe. You know, I played in the French Open, the Monte Carlo Open.
Wow.
And Provence in south of France.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there everywhere.
Amazing. Before I get you to talk about your album and how people can find you and your beautiful music, I would love to share another music of yours.
Mm-hmm.
The Look of Love.
Yep.
What is this one about?
Oh, it's a vocal with, it's a cool one.
All right, well, I'm really excited, guys. This is Look of Love by Dean Faitiri.
Of love is in your eyes, the look your smile can't disguise. The look of love is saying so much more than words could ever say. And when I see you now, it takes my breath away. The look of love is on your face, the look that time can't erase. Be mine tonight. Let this be just the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and seal it with a kiss. I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I've waited just to hold you. Now that I have told you, don't ever go. The time can't erase.
tonight, let this be just the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and seal it with a kiss. I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I've waited just to hold you. Now that I have told you, don't ever go.
You know what, Dean? I did know that song. Yeah. I thought I didn't, but I did. Yeah. So how does it work with that kind of stuff? So you play your version of the saxophone.
I'll just add notes over the song. That's all.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. I was just like that. It's such a throwback as well, that song. I remember my dad, my mum and dad are really into, you know, dancing in the lounge after supper or dinner or, you know, good old karaoke days. That's like every weekend, really. But, that's such a great. And is that the same kind of vibe with Moondance?
Yep.
Your song Moondance?
Yeah.
I love it. It's some of them are obviously has singing, some are. Your saxophone is doing the singing.
Mm.
That's incredible. So where can we catch you?
Well, I've got my debut album release party.
Yeah.
On the Sunday night at the end of this month, which is the 30th of June at 7 o'clock. We get an early start for the oldies.
Whereabouts?
It's at the Galatos, which is 17 Galatos Street. And you'll find everything on my website.
You have a website?
Galatos website, yep, just go in there. You'll see an old bloke blowing a saxophone. That's me. Just click onto that and it'll take you to the actual gig. And we're giving away a free CD included in the prize.
What a joy. Free CDs. How much would these normally go for?
Well, $25-$30 bucks.
Amazing. I've got myself a
free one. That's original. You can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah, because guys, recorded
it
once.
I'm not printing them for. I'm going to. Everything that's printed is going to stay with me, so people have to come back through me.
Nice. How many of these CDs have you
About 200 left.
200 left. Guys, you don't want to miss out. This is like the best thing to listen to after a really hard day and you just want to chill out.
The beauty of this CD, I may not have enough grunt to do another one.
But
I
you
might
know
run
what?
Out of time. I'm 78 now, and I've left it a bit too late to even get around to doing another one.
At this rate, Dean, I think you could totally do another one in the next year.
Well,
I mean, you play things live, one take wonders. Mm. Come on, maybe three more.
Well, we'll try. We'll look at each as we go along. Yeah.
This is such a joy, and I would love to. You were just talking about the musicians that are coming through Galatos.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, I've got some amazing musicians. They're all jazz musicians, but one guy I'd like to mention is his name is Kara Gordon. Kara Gordon, and now this guy is an actual academic genius musically, and the reason I say that because he got accepted into Berklee University, where 30% of the applicants don't even get in, and he ended up scoring $100,000 scholarship as well.
Wow!
And he ended up with a master's degree in music.
That's ridiculous.
That's amazing. There's no, I don't know any other Kiwi that's done it. He's absolutely brilliant, and his name is Kara Gordon.
Kara Gordon, check
his father's
out.
Scottish and his mother's Maori.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you do any
And I played with him a few times too.
Do you do any vocals?
Sorry?
Do you do any vocals?
I used to do a lot of vocals, but I was sort of head behind the saxophone most of the time now.
Do you still sing a little bit?
Not really. I'd have to work on it.
Yeah. Amazing.
But Kara is amazing, and he can play any genre, and he can write music for on any type of genre as well, even classical. He can do that. He's amazing.
Has the Lord ever been back around to your space?
Sorry?
Has the Lord ever come back to Galatos?
She pops in quite a bit to different shows we have.
Wow.
Yep. And if we've got a clip of her when we did an awards evening, the Tatum Music Awards, and she spoke about our club, and she recommended that that's her favourite venue.
Wow.
Yeah, it's her favourite venue.
That is something.
It may not be now. That was probably about 4 or 5 years ago she said that. She might have changed now.
Can still keep it on your website though, right?
It's on our website.
If for any young musicians or bands that are listening or that does listen to Kick Arts, how can they get in touch to play some gigs at your band? Is it quite easy or is it a process?
Yeah, you just inquire. And my wife, Andrea, she does everything by email. And so you just... You know, just email her with your details. Mm-hmm. And any new bands that want to play in the club, we recommend if they haven't got a following, they're best to have about 3 or 4 of their mates in bands so that they book the gig together. Mm-hmm. That way they get at least a few sales from all their friends and colleagues. Yeah.
Amazing.
And we have a lot of those sort of bands coming through all the time. Yeah.
Amazing.
A lot of kids, yeah.
One of the things I guess I want to wrap up our beautiful time together, Dean, do you have any regrets? I mean, you know, like 78, you were talking so bravely about the fact that, you know, your career came first, wanting to see the world, being in love with your beautiful wife.
And I love my wife and... Even though I don't tell her very much, but she is the best.
Tell her more often, Dean. Yeah. Tell her more often.
And I love all my whānau, as my kids, Waka and Darren and Kerry and Maya.
Doing your shout-out. Yeah. I love it. Do you wish you had done music earlier?
No, not really. It's just a gift I was able to run with over the years, really. You know.
You're like, now I have time to really...
I've never really treated each type of... interest I've been involved in as serious. I've never wanted to be number one at squash. I've never been number one as a saxophone player. I've never been number one in selling. So, but I've always been above average. So I've probably lived a stressless life because of that. I don't get carried away by being the best, you know.
You're just enjoying every moment, eh?
Enjoying it, yeah, that's the key.
How long were you overseas for?
5 years.
Wow. Mm.
And we lived, you know, it wasn't for my wife, Andrea. She is the key to the success of the club as well. We've been there 9 years. We've had hundreds of bands through that place. And she's booked them in and she's been there setting up the gear till they pack out the next day. Her and my son, Waka, have done the lot.
She's the main.
She's the main.
One of
she's
the main key. Part of the machine.
She's amazing. I'm just a handyman and the odd guest saxophone player if they want a solo in a song. And I've done that a few times.
Well, I'm sure you're a treat as well, and Andrea's happy to be working with
she's
you on
lovely.
This one. So that is June 30th.
June the 30th.
Yep. 7 p.m.
Yep.
For people to come check out your very first album release.
Yes.
Everyone come along at Galatos.
And you'll get a free rare CD as well thrown in.
Free CD. Can people grab drinks or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, that's what we sell. Drinks
and bars. I love it. On that note, I'll also do a last shout out to my show this coming week with Adam Rohi, Day-Day Phillip, produced by the amazing Eleanor. Maniac on the Dance Hall. It's on at the Basement Theatre this coming week. They're packing in and ready to give you one hell of a show. Check out some incredible shows around Auckland and, We will be back next week for another exciting episode and a number of other guests doing the mahi and tamaki makaurau. But until then, everyone, be safe, work hard, spread love and kindness, go out there and kick some arts. We're going to go out with Bikrunga, Get Some Sleep.
Everywhere and back to Union Square, where do I get some sleep? Anywhere the sleep dust lies, it decorates your eyes, when do I get some sleep? Stranded in June, whistling the same old tune. Daytime eyes, a good enough disguise until I get some sleep. Reading out the horoscopes and using up our jokes, when do we get to sleep? Stand on the moon, find the light of my living room. Yes, I do believe I might be having fun. I believe some sleep. Anywhere the sleep dust lies, a